Welcome in, and here are your fantasy junkies, John Overby, Stephen Gilbert, and Frank Scott.
Welcome to the Junkyard. This is the Fantasy Junkies podcast, your one-stop pod for fantasy football. As you heard, we are comprised of the big three of fantasy, John, Frank, and Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Loud and clear, feeling really good. Let's do this.
Yep, doing well. Doing really good. Let's do it.
All right. Yeah, on today's episode, we're going to bring you some opinions that we feel strongly about, and then one bold call each. But first, the NFL just wrapped up the preseason week, most commonly referred to as the dress rehearsal, where we actually get to see some first-team action for more than a drive or two. This episode will likely be out before the final preseason week has wrapped, but honestly, that's more for players who are on the roster bubble and for teams to pare down their final roster. So I think we could do our biggest takeaways from the preseason. So we're going to start with you, Steven.
Yeah, I'm not a guy who really gleans a lot of useful information out of the preseason. I tend to ignore all the, like, the positive fluff stories that beat reporters come out with. Like, oh, Isaiah Crowell looks so good. Or Peyton Barber's lost 10 pounds. It's, you know, whatever. Everyone's in the best shape of your life. I get it. I just kind of ignore most of that. The things I do kind of pay attention to are the injuries, of course, which we've had a couple. And you can also kind of pay attention to depth chart information you can get, like who's running with the ones, who's running with the twos, how that's looking. But as far as, like, performance or how they look on the field, I kind of ignore most of that. I think it was Chris Carter's son maybe a year or two ago was just killing people in the preseason, and then he got cut. And then he got cut. Like, you know, there's not really too much to get from that. We kind of already know who the good players are. But, yeah, as long as you just kind of ignore most of the fluff, just take in, recognize some of the negative news. I know Ronald Jones has had some of that. And most of the rest of it you can ignore.
Yeah, guys, I think, you know, people look at the preseason, like Stephen's saying, and they're just like, well, this guy's great. Look at him. He's moving up the depth chart. Well, we don't really know that because they're really not going against top-notch players. And, of course, my grade in one preseason moment, I go in, break into a draft room, and say, guys, I'm going to give you a sleeper pick. Chris Ivory. He's tearing it up. I guess that was probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, maybe even 8. Mm. And he didn't do anything, really. He was a preseason MVP. And this wasn't a whole lot, but I just look at it as they're getting second and third string. Like, I think the other night they were like, Lamar Jackson, look at Lamar Jackson, his best game. Yeah, he's going against the third string. No blitzes are they going against hardly, and defensive schemes are just not there right now. So that's kind of what I take out of the preseason.
Yeah, for me the biggest takeaway is that this year's preseason has kind of been more irrelevant than even ever before. Like, teams are just sitting their starters the whole preseason. I don't know that we've ever seen that before. I know the Rams are doing it. I think maybe the Bears did it. One good thing about that is that it seems like we're not having as many big-time injuries as we have before. The only one I can think of that's major is, you know, Darius Geis when he got hurt. That was, what, week two? Or was that the first week?
I don't remember. It was a couple weeks ago, I think.
Right. But yeah, that's a rookie we've never even seen in the NFL. It's usually like big-time guys that we hear at least one or two of them go out. I guess you could throw Marcus Lee in there, but I think as you'll hear later on, Steven and I at least didn't believe in him even before the injury. So I think the big thing to take away from preseason – it's just looking at the depth chart, you know, seeing who's running with the first team, who's running with the second team. You know, you got situations like the Buccaneers with Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones. It's pretty clear now that Peyton Barber is going to be the starter, at least to start the year. So that's maybe something we wouldn't have been able to glean if it wasn't for preseason. Royce Freeman's looking good in Denver, but it seems like he's still going to be splitting with Devontae Booker. He's not looked good in any games, and they keep putting him out on the field and with the first-team offense, you know, kind of switching them out. So it's stuff like that that you look for. Like Jordan Wilkins in Indianapolis looks like he might be the starter until Matt gets back at the very least. Other than that, I don't think anybody having like a big game is anything you should even pay attention to.
Don't sleep on Christine Michael. That's a joke.
You should sleep on Christine Michael.
He's asleep himself.
He's a sleeper, right?
Deep, deep sleeper.
But what do you guys think about the, you know, watching the depth chart at least part of preseason? Is that something that you guys
do? I think it can be valuable, but like even if we come out week one and like it does look like Peyton Barber should probably get the most carries, but that doesn't necessarily mean he will. You know, maybe they have kind of slowed played Ronald Jones and they decide to give him more touches. I don't really anticipate that, but I do hold out the possibility that it could happen. I actually think Barber will probably hold on to some value this year just because of the limitations of Jones. But, yeah, I mean, I would like to think we know a little bit about who's going to start and who's going to get more playing time. But even at that, I mean, at that level of talent, you're not looking at Alvin Kamara or someone we know is established. So it's hard to say. And with the Colts backfield, man, I still don't know what to do with that.
Right. Right. And it seems like, not to labor the Bucs backfield, but it seems like every year there's a guy like Peyton Barber who steps up and he's the starter, but you know he's a bad player. So it's like, does it even really matter that he's the starter?
But he lost 15 pounds, John.
Yeah, and don't forget about Fit Rob either.
That's fair.
He went from Fat Rob to Fit Rob this year, Steven.
Fat Eddie was always Fat Eddie, so I'll just have to wait till I see it to believe it.
All right, well, is there any other thoughts you guys want to share on preseason?
I'm sick of it. Let's get to the real football.
Yeah, this might be the only time we've even talked about preseason, and it's probably been too much. Like, other than injuries and maybe some depth chart watch, I think that's really all that needs to be covered in about preseason with fantasy.
That's about right.
So, yeah, so that'll be it for our preseason wrap-up. So we're going to move on to our main course for the evening, our Heels to Die On list. So basically what we're talking about here with this list is guys we feel very strongly about. And despite what the other two analysts think, you know, these are mostly going to be guys that we're higher on or lower on than the other two junkies. So we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're each going to make three predictions about a player season. And for each prediction that does not come through, we're going to smash an egg on our head to show the world our shame. So, to be clear, these are not bold calls. That's for later in the show. But based on the other people's ranks, they are predictions that the other analysts on the show do not totally buy into. So, one final housekeeping note before we get into this. If a player misses at least 8 games due to injury, the egg portion of this bet, I think, should be null and void. Those types of things, those are things we can't predict, so I don't think we should penalize ourselves for, like, freak injuries that can't be foreseen. However, if a player plays more than 8 games, I think we will go by pace. For example, if I say Deshaun Watson is going to throw for 30 touchdowns, but he ends up only playing 12 games, was he on pace to throw 30 touchdowns? If I predicted he's going to be a top-5 quarterback, was he on pace to do that on a points-per-game basis? This list is really to help you guys feel, you the listeners, feel good or feel not good about a player. So if they were on pace to do what we're saying, we've helped you out at, you know, giving you a little bit of incentive with this fan, with these fantasy players. So does all that make sense to you guys?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's do this. I'm ready. Now I don't have to worry quite as much about injury. I could have changed this list a little bit.
Right.
Let's do it.
So, all right, Steven, we will start with you. What is the first hill you're prepared to die on?
Okay. This guy's really good, okay? We all agree on that, but I think I have him ranked higher than the rest of you, and I'm even willing to go a little bit further. I'm going to say Melvin Gordon will finish this year as a top five running back. Now, most of what I'm going to have to say is talent-based, okay? Because even though I do not think he's in that upper echelon of talent, such as a Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley, I think he's the very next rung beneath that, okay? I see with Melvin Gordon a guy who can do everything above average. He's got above-average quickness, above-average acceleration, speed. He's got nice power. You watch him in the passing game, he's definitely involved there. I really like what I see from him. And whenever you think about workload, again, apart from those top David Johnson kind of workload beasts, who else gets more work than Melvin Gordon? I know Austin Eckler's there, but he's incredibly limited, whereas Melvin Gordon is not. He's going to be on the field. He's going to be putting up points. I have high aspirations for the Chargers offense. I'm willing to claim it. Melvin Gordon, top five running back this year.
All right. I think unless we specify otherwise, the assumption is these are all half point per reception. Like you say, top five. That's going to be top five and a half point perception, unless otherwise stated.
That's
right?
Exactly right. I'll note, you guys both like Gordon, but I think you have him, Frank, I think, had him back at like 12, and John, you were 9 or 10. So I had him ranked 6th, but after long and careful deliberations, I decided, you know what, let's go a little bit even bolder, top 5, Melvin Gordon. I think he's got it.
I like it. What about you, Frank?
Well, I am on board with Melvin Gordon, and Steven makes some good points about his production, but he is going to be on the field all the time. And if you're going to be a top five back, you've got to be able to catch it out of the backfield and get touches. And we all know he's going to get the touches, the touchdowns, and he's going to catch it out of the backfield. So that would not really shock me to see him be top five.
I'll add a little bit more. I'll say he will get at least 4 yards per carry so everyone can shut it.
I like it, Steven. I like how you keep adding different things that way you can make sure to get an egg on your face. Yeah, I like it. I don't necessarily think that, which is why you would go with that, because there's Saquon and David Johnson, Zeke, am I forgetting Gurley?
Zeke, yeah.
Bell. Yeah, so. But, yeah, I think that's a good start to this list. So, Frank, what's the first hill that you're prepared to die on?
Oh, I love this guy. I wish I could hug him right now. He's like my Swiss cake roll guy, guys. Kerryon Johnson. Everybody that asks him for fantasy advice, they say, who should I take and who could be a guy that I could trust in the later rounds? I said, there is no doubt, Kerryon Johnson. You may ask why Kerryon Johnson? Number one, he led the SEC last year in rushing yards and 20 touchdowns in the next step below the NFL. Kerryon Johnson is going to be starting running back for the Detroit Lions. And you may say, yeah, the Detroit Lions hasn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Superman died. That is very true. But this year, things are changing, my friends. Detroit Lions are going to have probably one of their best lines they've had in a long time. He's going to get the ball. my hill to die on for Kerryon is that he's going to be a tier two running back. He's going to be a fantasy surprise. Last year, my fantasy surprise was Alvin Kamara. This year, my fantasy surprise is going to be Kerryon Johnson. So, it would not shock me, guys, if he scores double-digit touchdowns.
Okay, so to be clear, what's the – is it that he's going to be at least an RB2? Is that what you said?
An RB2.
So top 24 is what we're saying here.
That works for me. I've got him ranked, I think, about 33, 34. So that's a bold call to me.
Right, yeah. I like that call. Are you – at all scared, not scared, but thrown off a little bit by how they've been using him in the preseason? About that at all, Frank?
I'm not worried. He's the one that's got the talent. Who is going to play in front of him? Theo Riddick? What's he done? He may catch the ball. Kerryon's the runner. They took him with a high pick. He's going to play. Going to be a superstar, guys. A superstar.
I like it. It's bold. Even though this isn't our bold call segment, I still count it as bold. That's a good hill. I'll say that. A good
right.
hill.
Good hill, yes.
Oh, guys, it's bold and beautiful.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and go with my first. How about hill to be egg? I think maybe hill to be egg.
I'm not dying.
Hill to die on the little
hill to be egged on.
Yes. So my hill to be egged on is D.D. Westbrook will be a top 30 wide receiver in PPR leagues. So Westbrook is the most talented wide receiver on the Jaguars roster, and I thought that even before the Marquise Lee injury. Blake Bortles is kind of a disaster as an actual football player, but he's the kind of disaster who can produce good fantasy seasons for receivers. In the three seasons that Bortles has started 16 games, he's produced three top 30 wide receivers. In 2015, he supported Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. And they were both top 20 wide receivers in PPR leagues that year. And in 2016, a season that everyone kind of agrees was a major disappointment for Allen Robinson, he was still the number 28 wideout in PPR. So while he didn't produce a guy last year, Blake Bortles, that is, I would argue that's because his number one target went down in the first game of the season, and that left him with Marquise Lee as his top guy. So Lee's a fine wide receiver, like he's all right, but he should never be a number one guy. And even then, last season, in only 13 games played for Lee, he finished as the number 42 PPR receiver last year. So I feel super safe that the far superior talent in Westbrook is going to finish as a top 30 guy this season at the position. Right now, Didi is going in the 13th round at the 164th pick. I don't understand that at all. And before the Lee injury, and I haven't checked in the last few days, but ESPN had him as the 295th ranked fantasy player. That literally does not make any sense at all. He didn't blow up last year, but coming off an injury from college, he more than showed why he was considered one of the most talented wide receivers in last year's draft class. So taking somebody at the, 164 spot and the possibility of him becoming a top 30 wide receiver, I think that's value you got to grab.
John, I will agree with you that he is definitely value in that spot, and ESPN is full of ridiculousness. So anyone who still pays attention to their ranks should stop it right now. They're pathetic. But one thing that you said really stood out to me about Marcus Lee. You said he's fine, but he shouldn't really be a number one receiver. And what I would say about D.D. Westbrook is he's fine, and he should never be a number one receiver. I don't know if I'm willing to go far enough to say he's going to be top 30. I had this on my list before, but I changed it after the Lee injury because it felt a little cheap. I feel like Keelan Cole is going to be the top receiver for the Jaguars. I think both guys are talented, but limited. It could be true that Westbrook has a bit more polish. As far as speed, you know, people brag about Westbrook's speed, but as far as I'm concerned, Cole is just as fast. I don't see much separation between them speed-wise at all.
I would say Cole's even faster.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to take it that far, but that's what my eyes told me too.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. I think Westbrook's, you know, far better in the other parts of his game, but Cole, I think, I would say is undoubtedly faster.
Cole is pretty much all speed and hands. That's what I told you guys the other day. There's not a lot of superior technique going on, but he's talented. And Moncrief, I think we all agree, is just kind of a whatever. I'm not sure why they paid him so much money, but the fact they paid him so much money does not mean he's going to get the ball thrown to him. He's the worst receiver they've got of the three.
Right. I mean, he might be their touchdown guy, but other than that, I don't.
Leonard Fournette is their touchdown guy.
Right. I guess I meant through the air, but yeah, that's a pretty good point too. If they get inside, just give it to Fournette. But yeah, I actually do like Keelan Cole a lot too, and he's going. I don't have his ADP in front of me, but he's going real late too. So if you do like Cole, I would say grab him either two or grab him instead of Westbrook. But I feel pretty confident that Westbrook is going to be the guy that stands out this year.
All right.
So what about you, Steven? What's your next hill to get egged on?
All right, my next hill to get egged on, I mentioned that I had Keelan Cole on this list, and I changed him because of the Lee injury. I also had, at first, Doug Baldwin on this list until I found out Frank had him ranked just as high as I did. So I have been swapping these guys around a little bit. I am going to go with Corey Davis. You guys know I love him. I've had him all over the place. I'm going to say that he will finish as a top 18 wide receiver this year for half point PPR.
Who is that you cut
Corey
out?
Corey Davis, Titans.
Corey Davis.
Titans, okay. Super stud wide receiver. He is 6'3", 210 pounds. But he's wider to me. Like, he seems wider than maybe you would even imagine at that size. He looks similar to Devin Funchess. And I know he's 20 pounds lighter than Funchess. But he's also 20 pounds faster than Funchess. Whenever I see Davis, I see a guy who can overpower smaller corners. He can run right past slower ones, overpower small ones. But then he also has really great hands and has an ability to win in just a wide variety of ways. Now, I admit that he does have a need to polish his routes a bit more. He seems a little undisciplined. His fakes aren't really great. Like, no one really bites on him that much. But lots of talent, great hands. I love the ability and the size. He's going to be somewhere around the 1,000 to 8 TD kind of vein. So I'm going to say, as my heel to be egged on, top 18 wide receiver.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. I actually moved.
Cool, guys. I'll give you a comment on Corey Davis. I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a name here, guys. Matt LaFleur, offensive coordinator, Tennessee Titans.
Right.
I'm sure you guys know where he was at last year, right?
With the Rams, yeah.
Los Angeles Rams. I think it's going to be a good marriage, guys. And Mariota may be a beneficiary throwing it to Corey Davis. And I think I'm on board with you, Steve. He does have the talent. He was hurt last year. Getting a new start with a new coordinator. And it can make a world of difference, just ask the Rams. So it can really flip in a hurry. So I'm on board with you.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, like I was saying, I actually moved Corey Davis up to, I think, my number 22 wide receiver just this morning. So I like that pick a lot. I'm rising on Davis as well, and I think I think he definitely could be a top 18 receiver.
Well, I thought I was going kind of bold there. I didn't know you bumped him up too. I thought, man, I'll get him on this one. All right. So, John, what is your second hill to be egged on?
All right. My second guy is Jay Ajayi, and I think he will be a top 15 running back this year. So here's the case for Ajayi. He's a talented running back behind what Pro Football Focus has ranked as the number one offensive line. That sounds like a recipe for success to me. He's the 21st running back coming off boards in half PPR leagues right now. Guys like Royce Freeman and Alex Collins are going ahead of him. And I think they are worse running backs on significantly worse offenses. Like, I don't totally get the Ajayi hate. He was traded midseason last year, and he had to get adjusted to an entirely new offense on the fly. And he did. Like, 70 carries for 408 yards and a touchdown in 7 games. That's nice for a guy who didn't have a training camp to learn the playbook. Actually, you know, I do get the Ajayi hate a little bit, or at least I understand where it's coming from. Like, they didn't overload him with carries last year when he did get to Philly. And people, I guess, are worried that that's going to repeat. But I just don't buy that there's running back anywhere near his caliber on that roster. So I'm not completely worried about his workload. I mean, how many guys do we know what their workload will be right now headed into the season? It's not many guys that have an established, like, 80-20 work share or higher. And the guys who are in the same position as Ajayi, guys, we don't know exactly how they're going to be used. I don't think they have nearly the upside that Ajayi has. You know, running behind that offensive line and in that offense, I'll be happy to take Ajayi as my RB2 this year.
Frank, you want to tackle this one?
Jay Ajayi, guys. You look at his stats, they're not really that great. It's like John said, last year he came into the middle of the year. I guess the thing that keeps popping out in my eye is the Eagles' offensive line's number one in the NFL. And they've got so much talent. It kind of reminds me a lot of Green Bay's offense, where you're having to concentrate so much on the quarterback that you've got a lot of creases in the running game. But I will say, I would like to see some proof in the pudding with a guy as far as touchdowns. He's got to get more than 5 touchdowns, and I think that he will, but I guess I'm just at a wait and see with a guy. I'm sure that's a bold proclamation by John, but he has the talent to do it. And he has the, I believe he's going to get the carries. So that should be interesting for sure.
Right. The one thing I would say real quick is that Ajayi is not like a talented guy who's never done it before. Like, right, 2 years ago, 1,272 yards and 8 touchdowns. You know, so he's a guy who, and that was a worse offense. And I think they have 200-yard games that year?
2, maybe 3. I think he had 3 big games, but maybe 2 200-yard games.
Right. So he's shown before that he can have – but he can also be a guy that wins you a week, you know. So I think that's the Ajayi that we're going to see this year.
Yeah, I really do like that pick. I think he's definitely got the chance to do it. You made all the right, you know, arguments for it. It really just comes down to me, how much do the Eagles want to be dedicated to that power running game? You know, they've lost LeGarrette Blount, so now it does appear that Ajayi has that. Corey Clement, even though he's got the size for it, he's, 220 pounds, I think, he just doesn't really play mean like Ajayi does, right? Like, he can catch the ball. But then Darren Sproles comes back. He's old, but he's still talented, I guess. So it really just depends how much they want to hand it off to him. But I would agree with you. I think I have him ranked 18th or 19th. So if they actually give him the carries, I think you're right on board. That's a good hill.
Right on. So what do you have, Frank? Who's your second guy?
Well, as you guys know, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. The heel I'm getting ready to die on is Davante Adams. The heel that I plant this flag on, guys, is a top seven receiver. Double-digit touchdowns, 1,100 yards. He's going to get some major, major looks from he get a whole year of Aaron Rodgers. I pray. And and I've been on the line today, and I've been checking out some things. The Packers guys are talking about trading Randall Cobb.
That was one rumor that got floated around. Yeah, I don't know how much truth is to it, but yeah.
There's a lot of smoke right now about him being traded. They're sounding like they're wanting to put him in a deal to get Khalil Mack. So if that happens, that definitely he's going to see a lot of action. I guess on the flip side, people could look and say, yeah, they've got Jimmy Graham to take away from some of his touches in the red zone. But I just think Aaron Rodgers loves him. They've got great rapport. So my heel is Davante Adams. Take him in your draft. You're going to be smiling. Because there's no doubt, I believe, that he'll see double-digit scores.
I just want to throw in real quick that I think Randall Cobb would fit in just perfect with John Gruden. I mean, he was really good like 4 or 5 years ago. So, I think they'll work out just fine. That's a good take. Sorry, John, you go ahead.
Well, I was just clarifying, is the heel that – you know, the thing, if he doesn't achieve and you get egged, is it the 10 touchdowns? At least 10 touchdowns? Is that what it is?
I think it's top seven.
Top seven.
Top seven, okay.
Receiver.
And then he threw out, kind of like I did with Davis, he threw out the 1,100 yards and double-digit touchdowns as like a barometer.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that pick. I mean, I've mentioned before on our wide receiver show, I am a fan of Davante Adams. He's... You know, John kind of complained about him a few weeks back about how he dropped a lot of passes early in his career. He's turned that around a bit. As long as he keeps on the right track there, he does figure to be, you know, a focal point of the offense. I might have something bold to say about this offense coming up in a few minutes, but I do like Davante Adams.
Why don't you go ahead with your bold take? No, that's for your actual bold take.
Yeah, my bold. Uppercase.
So why don't you go ahead and do your third heel then?
Okay, I will do my third heel. And we didn't have to do this, but I decided to pick one person from each position. So I hit Melvin Gordon, my running back. I hit Corey Davis, my wide receiver. Now I'm jumping to the tight end. There's a lot of trash at tight end. And to me, a lot of the trash is being drafted like 5th, 6th, 7th. Tight end off the board whenever I'm looking at Delanie Walker, Jimmy Graham. I'm seeing guys like Kyle Rudolph, these very average-looking guys. And then I watch film on Trey Burton, guys. And he is a different kind of character. He can fly down that seam. He's got nice hands. I really like what he can do athletically. I don't know what the Bears' offense is going to look like, but I do think Trey Burton's going to be a focal point of that offense, not because of what they paid him, that's dumb, but because he's a talented guy, and to me, he's one of the most talented tight ends in football. I think this year, Trey Burton will enter that upper echelon of tight ends in fantasy. I'm not saying he'll outscore Gronk, but right now we all know there's three top tight ends. There's Gronk, Kelce, Ertz. After this year, you will add Trey Burton to that list. I'm not going to say top four because I also feel like there's a chance you could maybe add Evan Ingram to that list. So what I'm going to say is after this year, he is going to be known as one of those solid top reliable tight ends who everybody wants on their team.
Right on. I like that take too.
Well, he would definitely be top five, maybe top four, depending on what happens with Ingram. He's super talented too, but I've got the man crush going with Trey Burton. That guy can play.
Right. So, yeah, I think we all like Trey Burton. But, yeah, that's even a little bolder than I would be willing to go. So, I like that. Trey Burton is a – I think he's a talented tight end. I think what is going to possibly hinder him is Mitch Trubisky. But if Trubisky comes on, then I think he's got a really good weapon.
Well, I like Trey Burton, guys. I like his talent. When he played for the Eagles, when Ertz was hurt, he played very well. But as you just said, John, there's a difference in Carson Wentz and Trubisky. But, too, I guess you can look at it to the side point of a young quarterback always needs a safety blanket. So, he's got a great shot. They're going to score some touchdowns. So, somebody's got to score him, right? So, I'm sure the red zone's going to be looked at very closely. So,
you say there's a difference between Carson Wentz and Mitch Trubisky, but there's a difference between John Fox and Matt Nagy.
True. True. It'll be interesting.
But is there a difference between Peterson and Matt Nagy? Because he's going – I guess you're going from the Trubisky standpoint.
Yeah, right, exactly right. Obviously the Eagle okay, Peterson was, knows what he's doing, Burton. But with Ertz there, Burton just didn't have the role required for him to really show out. This year he should have it.
Gotcha. We've got some new listeners, so why don't you take 20 seconds to explain. You mentioned that arguing that he got paid a lot of money is going to equal fantasy success. Why don't you take 20 seconds just to explain why that's
well, stupid. I'll actually, just right off the top of my head, I'll credit the Harris Football Podcast for this idea. I'm sure other people talk about it as well. But they mentioned on there that no quarterback's going to be in the huddle saying, all right, who's got the biggest contract? That's who we're going to go to on third down. Hike! Nobody thinks that. All it means is they had money to spend and they gave it to you. It doesn't mean you're worth it necessarily. Sammy Watkins got a huge contract. It doesn't mean they're going to throw it to him more than they throw it to Tyreek Hill. They'll throw it to whoever's open. They'll throw it to whoever's the best player getting open who deserves those looks. That's just too easy of an argument is how much they get paid. We all know people who get paid more than they deserve, don't we? Happens all the time. Happens in the NFL too.
All right, that's a perfect way to encapsulate that.
Russell Wilson got paid trash for years. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He wasn't worse because he got paid less. Come on.
I think that was
perfect. It was. I'm just saying.
Right. So. Okay. So we'll move. My final hill to get egged on is that Adam Thielen will not be a top 20 wide receiver this season.
That hurt my feelings.
So, well, let me lay out the case for it. So I've talked about Thielen quite a few times on this pod, and it boils down to this. I think Stephon Diggs is the superior wide receiver in Minnesota. I don't think Kirk Cousins will be able to support two top 20 wide receivers, especially with Dalvin Cook back from injury and the Vikings being able to lean on the run game a little more. Thielen is currently going as the number 14 wide receiver, and the market is actually with me on Diggs being the better receiver right now. He's going slightly ahead of Thielen, which I honestly did not expect coming into the season. I think a lot of that had to do with the miracle in Minnesota, or whatever they're calling it, where he won the playoff game for him, which is kind of stupid in itself, but I guess whatever works for people. But so what I'm most scared of in this hill is that Diggs has an injury history. So if he's not playing 14, 15, or 16 games, that would hurt this prediction big time. But I'm sticking by it, and I can't wait to grab Adam Thielen next year after the market overcorrects after a bit of a disappointing season this year.
Well, I will agree with you that Diggs is better. I will not agree with you that Diggs is superior, I think is the word you used. These guys can both play. They're both good. I watched a play just the other day. I think it was against the Falcons where The cornerback is on press coverage on Adam Thielen, and as soon as the ball snapped, the guy reaches out to jam him on the line, and Thielen does this awesome little just shoulder shimmy, goes right around the guy. As the corner is reaching out for him, he almost falls down going forward because he missed him right in front of him, and Thielen's got 10 yards of separation running down the field. I think Thielen can really play. He's really smart going against the zone as well. He always sits right in the open spot. He beats man coverage like I just talked about. I could absolutely see them both going top 20. So I think this is a fine hill for you to be egged on, but I do feel like, John, you will be egged.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
So, Frank, who is
– well,
he – you have anything you want to add on Thielen?
Yeah, can I go ahead and go get the eggs right now? Guys, I love Adam Thielen. I love how he can get open. He gets the ball. Had 91 receptions last year for almost 1,300 yards. And the thing I will point out to you guys is, yes, Diggs is talented, but you can't make no money when you're sitting on the bench over there. You can't produce on the bench and hurt and got this nagging injury and got this nagging injury. Well, who's the one that gets when he's out of the game? You know they're going back to Thielen. And, of course, he could have a healthy year, but he's not been very healthy since he's been in the NFL. I'm a big fan of Adam Thielen. I like their structure of this offense. You guys were naming all these players for Minnesota. They do have a lot of talent. Don't forget Kyle Rudolph. He scored 8 last year. But I like Adam Thielen. If he finishes out of the top 20, I will be shocked. So you do have a big hill to stand on.
So do you think that both of them will be top 20 then? I think Steven said he believed they.
No. I think Thielen will be.
So you think just Thielen will be?
Yeah.
I'm willing to go both because I don't think Diggs has been so injury prone that I'm willing to just expect injury like I am with Sam Bradford or Jordan Reed. But if he happens to be nicked up all year again, then we're probably in that range for me.
Yes, that's exactly where I'm at with Diggs. I'm expecting health this year, but if it's another injury mark season, yeah, I'm gonna have to be with you on that and come over to the Thielen side. But all right, Frank, who do you got for your third hill?
Are y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
One? I've got a
I'm writer. Not ready. Go ahead.
Marshawn Lynch.
Really?
My heel, guys. It's my last heel tonight. My heel's going to be this. He's going to score 10 touchdowns this year.
Wow.
And you may ask, why would you say that in the sky? Well, they gave him a new contract, so they must believe in him. And they were trying to hold him back last year, guys, for the playoffs. But there's one problem. They didn't make the playoffs. So their plan didn't work very good. But I believe their John Gruden loves to give the ball to the running back. I don't think it's going to be any different. Lynch is going to be his kingpin. He's going to be the bell cow for the Raiders. And I look for double-digit touchdowns. This is going to be my heel. This is my egg bet.
That is the beast,
Marshawn Lynch, down the field this year.
That is interesting. I would not have expected Marshawn Lynch coming hot. Are you sure the Raiders are going to score 10 touchdowns this year, Frank?
I like this Raider offense, guys. I really do.
All right.
With a new coach, I really do.
You're not worried about Doug Martin? 10
touchdowns for Lynch. No, I'm more worried about John running the ball.
Well, you should not be worried about that at all.
Yeah, that surprises me. I don't even remember where I have Lynch ranked. It's probably somewhere around 40 because I'm still factoring in the possibility that he retires any day now. That's bold. Hey.
Hey, let me add this. Hey, let me add this to you guys. I was listening the other day to my – I got to give my credit to my fantasy footballers. They were saying his incentive contract this year. I think I read if he carries the ball 900 times or gets 900 yards, contract goes up to like 8 or 9 million for this year.
Well, I mean, he's not the one who gets the pick if he runs, though. So, I mean, I don't know what that really means, you know. If he's doing well, I'm sure they'll run him. But if he's not, does that mean they don't want to give him the ball so they don't have to pay him more? I don't know. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative.
Yeah, it could go either way. I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't pick Lynch based on that. So, guys, this next segment that we're gonna have, it's gonna be for our bold takes. So, now while we had to smash an egg on our own head if we didn't get our heels to get egged on right, the bold predictions will be a little different. For whoever gets their bold predictions right, the other two analysts have to smash an egg on their heads as a reward for getting your bold prediction right. We want to do this to kind of encourage some bolder takes. So having said that, let's start with you, Steven. You kind of teased us a little bit earlier with your bold call. So what are you going to take to try and humiliate us?
I did, and this is a player that I've believed in all through the offseason process. I had him ranked as high as running back 25 in a half-point PPR just because I do believe he's such a great pass catcher. I'm talking about Ty Montgomery, okay? So similar to how one of John's hill to be egged on takes is kind of maybe contingent on Diggs not getting hurt, my contingency or my bold take, I need Ty Montgomery to not get hurt. I feel like, and I'm going to – look, you guys know I love talking about talent and player skills, but I'm going to have to get real situational for just a few minutes, okay? I'm going to have to do that because I'm going to have to tell you the story, okay? I'm going to have to paint you the picture of how this can happen. But I feel like Ty Montgomery will lead the Green Bay Packers in catches this year. This is why I think that. He is one of the best pass-catching running backs in the league. He has a history of being a full-time wide receiver. This means he's not just running screen routes. He's running real big-boy NFL wide receiver routes. He can run from the slot. He can run from the backfield. He can run from the outside, either side of the field. You can move him all over the place. He has also shown that if you try to run him straight up the middle, he will die. He cannot do it. He will fall apart. And the Packers have already shown us they have two very capable running backs who can do that. Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones. So in my world for the Packers, you let those two guys with a little bit of Ty Montgomery run the ball, and then you line up Ty Montgomery all over that field and you pelt him with targets. You'll have Devontae Adams, who, Frank, I agree with you, very, very good. Everyone else in that wide receiving core, I'm not completely sold on. Cobb's already been in a walking boot this offseason, and he's been hurt several years in a row. Geronimo Allison, I talked about once before on the show. I see a lot of very average skills with him. I don't think he's a dominant player. All these rookies, if any of them are going to step up, I'd imagine it's Jamon Moore, but I don't know that. Rookie wide receivers have a hard time getting used to the league. Why not Ty Montgomery? Throw him in the slot. Get him matched up with linebackers. Throw him that ball. He'll catch it. He won't break, and he is going to lead the Packers in catches this year.
I think that is a very bold call. You didn't happen to find out how many running backs led their teams in catches last year, did you?
I did not look that up. I imagine David Johnson did it the year he had 80. Larry Fitzgerald would have beaten that. Lev Bell's probably never done it because Antonio Brown.
I would venture to say it hasn't been done.
Duke Johnson?
Maybe.
Christian McCaffrey, probably. He also had 80. So it can happen. I can see this guy. He's not as talented as Christian McCaffrey. That's true. But
well, I was just saying it was a bold call because it didn't happen very often.
Yeah, I think
I wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't trash the pick. So, actually, why don't you look up and see if Christian McCaffrey or Duke Johnson did last year while we go over our bold takes.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that. I've mentioned before on the pod that we are low budget, and for me right now, that means my computer is done, or at least close to done. So, sorry, guys.
I just want to throw something out there because I've been, as a Packer fan, I've been listening to my pod, Packer Unscripted. Ty Montgomery, like Steven said, is not going to hold up in the backfield. It's just they done know that. So he's not going to get work probably much in the running game. But, guys, I want to pose something to you guys. Trade Randall Cobb. Ty Montgomery moves to the slot. Let Aaron Jones take care of the backfield. So that could make Steven's prediction even more.
Look, I don't listen to that podcast, but I'm thinking reliable, right along the same lines, I guess, as you would those say. Guys.
Right. So he could end up, guys, moving to the slot if they make this deal. But Steven's right. He can definitely catch the ball. He can definitely run the routes. I liked him, really liked him last year. I was hoping he would hold up. He was being drafted really high. And he started out really well last year. Just injuries caught up with him.
You guys are going to be
right,
eating eggs. That's just
a couple thoughts I have on it.
I don't know about that. I may not think Devontae Adams is a lead or anything, but I think he's going to keep us from getting egged.
He is the only line of defense you have. That's my point.
And Ty Montgomery staying healthy.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, Frank, why don't you hit us with your bold take?
John, I'm going to get ready. You guys are just going to fall out of your chair.
I doubt it.
Y'all ready for this bold one? My boy, Christian McCaffrey. 1,000 yards receiving. 1,000 yards rushing. Why would you say that? Well, a guy that I know very well is their offensive coordinator, a man by the name of North Turner. He loves to ride one back. And I know we're not taking a lot from preseason, but McCaffrey looks like is his back and is his man. And he did catch 80 balls last year. So that is my bold prediction. McCaffrey, 1,000
yards. That's certainly bold.
Receiving, 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah, that would.
How many running backs have done that?
I only know of one. LT never did it. David Johnson's yet to do it. Lev Bell's yet to do it.
Yeah.
Jamal Charles never did it.
It'd be crazy if David Johnson and
Alvin Kamara
in the same year.
and
Alvin.
Ty Montgomery.
I don't know if he can. Let's not get crazy. This is the bold, but it's not the unbelievable part of the segment.
I'll grant you that he could definitely get there receiving the ball. The guy's super talented. The reason I feel like I probably won't get egg on this one is because of the running. I'm not sure that he'll be able to hold up with that workload, and that they'll either see that and they'll give CJ Anderson more carries, or he would maybe pull up the Ty Montgomery and break down over the season, which he's very talented and he hasn't proven himself to be injury prone yet. So I guess there's a chance.
Yeah, and we just talked about how the preseason doesn't matter, but it seems like they're at least going to try him out more as a runner than under Norv Turner. You know, who knows? That it could have just been, we know C.J. Anderson can do this. Can you do this, Christian McCaffrey? But, I mean, he actually showed that he could do it, so maybe he does. So I think this is a good bold call. Just as an update on the running backs leading their teams in receptions, I Googled it and could not find it. It does seem that Christian McCaffrey did it last year just by looking at McCaffrey and then looking at Devin Funchess, a very scientific way. I didn't get a chance to look at Duke Johnson, but in the past, a 2017 article said in the past 5 years, so that would be going back to 2012, only two running backs had led their teams in receiving yards. That's Danny Woodhead in 2015 with the Chargers and Jamal Charles in 2013.
That's not, well, that's my not exactly bold the same goal. Thing, but I said catches.
I guess. Yes, I agree, but I could not all find right. catches, so that's what I ended up with. So yeah, I did not help at all. I could have just not even said anything, and it would have been
okay. Thing. What's your bold call, John?
And now I'm going to go with my bold call. And my bold call is that Patrick Mahomes is going to be a top five quarterback. Mahomes is going in the 11th round right now behind a lot of like proven guys who are going to be consistent fantasy performers. Your Big Bens, your Phillip Rivers, your Matt Ryans. And I think that's exactly where Mahomes should be going. But he is one of those guys that could exceed his draft big time. Like, college stats are kind of useless, especially in the Big 12. But one thing I do like is his rushing ability. And he had 22 touchdowns in two seasons, in his last two seasons in college. Mahomes isn't, like, super fast, but he is super quick. And he was one of the top performers at the combine in the three-cone drill and was the top guy in the 20-yard shuttle for quarterbacks with a 4.08 second time, which is actually faster or quicker than Christian McCaffrey was. He was just the guy I happened to look at to see how that compared. But I don't think you should ever underestimate running quarterbacks when it comes to fantasy football. And he's also known for a strong arm, and he'll have a chance to showcase that with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins to throw to. And Travis Kelce can get down the field and make plays too. Need I say, Andy Reid is his quarterback or his head coach. And Andy Reid, he may forget about the running game sometimes. He does not forget about the passing game. So I think it's a great situation for Mahomes to step right into. And I think he's got a chance to be a real league winner for fantasy leagues this year.
Yeah, he's got the chance. He's also well known for throwing picks lately, John.
Hey, a really good preseason game in week three.
No, that's fine. That is a very bold call, and I don't really feel too afraid on that one either. There's so many good quarterbacks. I mean, even if he does, you know, Jared Goff took a huge jump last year and only managed to get to 12, understanding the difference with the running ability. But, yeah, I mean, that's a bold call. He's got the opportunity if he can just take advantage of it.
Guys, that's a top five quarterback. That's a difficult thing to accomplish when you start naming the top five guys.
Right.
Blake Bortles did it.
Blake Bortles. Blake
right there.
Yeah, true, but I don't know. There's a lot of talented guys right now at the quarterback spot. No doubt he's probably got the surrounding cast. Two, guys, I always question, Andy Reid knows quarterback play. I'm kind of shocked to think that he would trade away a proven commodity and go with Mahomes, but maybe that was a contract thing or a money thing, but I seem to think he's got
confidence in Mahomes. So
I think that's an Alex Smith thing. Whenever he looks good for a team, they just deal him.
Right. Yeah. That'll be a tough thing to accomplish.
Well, the wimpy calls segment, Frank. This is the bold calls.
Well, you definitely go wimpy.
So we're going with
bold. That's bold.
All right, guys. Do you guys have anything else you want to add about
the bold? I had some calls, really bold kicker takes, but I'll hold those for the next show.
Okay, our next show will be an entirely bold kicker show, and it will just be Steven.
Talking about Will Lutz and Jake Elliott the whole time.
Yeah, you got to give your sleeper kicker, Steven.
Sleeper kicker? Does such a thing exist? Find a good offense.
Steven was
their kicker last round. That's it. That's all there is.
Steven was legitimately angry at the draft. Like, yesterday, he's like, Will Lutz, on the board. I was like, it's all right.
They're a great offense. Just take their kicker.
Just pick one.
What are you taking the Ravens kicker for? Come on.
Hey, Justin Tucker.
I don't care what he is. This team's got to score points. Anyway, too much to kicker talk. Let's move on.
Yeah.
We're done.
All right. Fantasy Junkies, we're ending on a high note. Justin Tucker versus Will Lutz talk. So remember to follow us on Twitter at @fantasy_junk. And you can also send us an email at thefantasyjunkies@gmail.com. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast is a huge help. So, you know, feel free to do that if you're in a given mood. So as always, for Stephen Frank, I'm John O. Thank you guys for
listening. See you, folks.
See ya.